Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call today at 888-677-9673. That's our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air today with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this afternoon. We just pray that you would bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody today. Help us to be able to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about. And we could lift up and glorify Jesus in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today, and want to mention, I enjoyed the program before us, and Brother Mileti talking about evolution and the falseness of it, pointing out the truth of the Word of God, and having a biology degree, that's always one of my favorite subjects and topics to touch on, so it's kind of interesting. I still remember studying evolution at Colorado State University, and one of my favorite moments, and I'll get into a couple other topics here in just a moment, but one of my favorite moments was one of our professors in a class she was teaching evolution and giving the reasons for evolution. She put up on the screen the famous, or should I say infamous, chart of the evolution of the horse. And if you've ever opened a high school biology textbook or even a junior high biology textbook, you've probably seen the evolutionary chart of the horse. If you've ever gotten a book on horses, you've probably seen in there somewhere the evolutionary chart of the horse. She put that up and she said, here's the evolutionary chart of the horse. And she said, the one thing about it is it's not real. She said that we just put this together. We made it up because one of the things on there, Eohippus, I think it was actually a rock hyrax, not even related to a horse. And she said, we put this together because it illustrates what we want to teach and we don't have anything better. You know, it seems to me that when you have to use stuff that you admit readily are lies to teach something as truth, and then attack the truth of the Word of God with those lies, and then complain that people who don't believe the truth but instead believe the lies are actually smart. Something's wrong there, isn't there? Something's wrong with that picture. It's just like the thing with Haeckel's famous embryos showing the progress of evolution that the embryo goes through, from the fish to the amphibian to the reptile to the mammal and all this sort of nonsense. And that was disproven in Haeckel's lifetime. And so that's been disproven for well over 100 years. And it's still in the textbooks presented as evidence of evolution. When you have to use lies to teach a theory, something is wrong with that theory. It's more like my professor who said at the end of a senior level class on forest biology at Colorado State University that the only other explanation is special creation, and I don't want to believe that. And that leads into something that I wanted to talk about here today, and that is atheism. And I was looking at a report here on atheism, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but I do want to remind you that this is Live with Pastor Al, and I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we're located at 5171 Brecksville Road, right there in Richfield, right by the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. So if you drive out there looking for a church building, you're not going to see a church building. You will see a building where the church meets, and that's a hotel, the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We meet in a conference room there, And actually, we can look right out the window and see the toll booths for the Ohio Turnpike. That's how close we are. And that's in northern Summit County, almost exactly halfway between Cleveland and Akron. So we're easy to get to, and we'd love to have you visit sometime. And there'll be more information about this at the end of the program. And, of course, invite you out tonight. We have a Bible study where we do just what we do on the radio. We talk about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. So if you've got questions, we'd love to have you come out and visit us. And, of course, we've got our Sunday services as well. All that information will be given at the end of the program. But you can go online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more of this information as well. And you can listen to our past programs there as well, and not just our Friday afternoon programs, but our Sunday night programs. We're on every Sunday night here on AM 1220, every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight, live show there as well. Know a lot of people don't like to stay up that late on Sunday night. And so if you're not able to stay up with us, you can go online at livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to our Sunday night programs there. And apologize if I don't get them up there right away in the next day or so, but I'm the one that does the website, and so sometimes it takes me a little longer, and so I try to get them up there as quick as I can, but not always as quick as I should be. And you can also check us out on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. And I try to keep a number of things going on Facebook there. And I do have on Facebook right now a link to this one article here that I wanted to mention. And this is the idea, Way More Americans May Be Atheists Than We Thought. That's an intriguing article, caught my attention when I read that title. And before I mention that, let me just touch on one thing real quick here before I forget here. I just wanted to encourage people to be in prayer for our president. He is heading out on his trip today. He's going to be spending some time in the Middle East, also Europe. He's going to start out with a visit to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. He's supposed to give a speech calling for Islam to repudiate the radical elements, the violence in Islam and all that. You know, I understand his desire and all that, but trying to pull violence out of Islam is like trying to take Christ out of Christianity. It's endemic. It's in their scriptures. It's all through it. And then from there, he's moving to Jerusalem, Israel. And he's going to visit Jerusalem. He's going to visit Bethlehem. And I guess he's going to visit the Western Wall while he's there. And my hope is that while he's there, he'll make an announcement to move the embassy, that we're going to move the embassy, the U.S. embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, where it should be. That's the capital. That would be like Israel having their embassy in Baltimore rather than Washington, D.C. Our embassy's in Tel Aviv, but the capital is Jerusalem, and we should move our embassy there. We have a consulate there. It should be the embassy that's there, and that would telegraph a tremendous message. One thing, it would be a fulfillment of his campaign promises he repeated over and over, going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And so pray for him to do that. There's a lot of pressure on him not to do that, because it'll affect the relationship with the Palestinians and the possibility of a Palestinian Israeli sort of peace thing. And it's nonsense. We need to pray for him. Delaying the move of our embassy to appease the Palestinians is just a fruitless endeavor. The Palestinians are never going to be happy so long as Israel controls Jerusalem. And for that matter, the Palestinians are never going to be happy so long as Israel exists. We need to move the embassy and negotiate with the Palestinians from a position of strength, not capitulate and negotiate from weakness. Well, from there, of course, President Trump is going to fly to Rome. He's going to visit, I guess, the Vatican while he's there. So you've got Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Near, you know, that's Saudi Arabia, of course, is where Mecca is located, and then Jerusalem, where you've got the Temple Mount, Rome, where you've got the Vatican, and then from there to Brussels. And so, you know, Brussels seems to be you know, the center of secularism. So he's going from the center of these different religions, I guess. And then I guess he's got a final stop down in, oh, let's see, I think it's down in Sicily or someplace down around. I forget where exactly the last stop is. But pray for him. Pray for his safety. Pray that he'll make the right decisions. I mean, he's done some good things so far. And so pray for him, and he'll make the right sort of decisions that'll strengthen our country and also be glorifying to our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me get back to this thing on atheism. I wanted to touch on that as well. And of course, too, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I really was intrigued reading this article on atheism. And basically what it's saying is that there's probably quite possibly more atheists in America than what most polls normally report. Most polls have reported certain numbers, such as about 1 in 10 Americans reporting that they don't believe in God, some suggesting about 3% of Americans identify as atheists, and some there's a new study out that's cited here that suggests that it might be about 10 times that amount that are actually atheists. And part of the reason is they're saying a lot of people are afraid to admit it. They're saying that perhaps 26% of Americans do not believe in God. Now, that is an incredible figure, and I would disagree with that myself, because in my experience talking with atheists, you know, I even had a roommate in college when I was at Colorado State. Talk about Colorado State earlier. When I was a student at Colorado State University, I remember my one roommate. He claimed to be an atheist, but upon conversation with him, he really wasn't an atheist. And this is where I maintain a lot of atheists are. They claim to be atheists, but they're actually God-denying deists. And let me repeat that phrase again, God-denying deists. And the reason I say it that way is because, using my former college roommate as an example, he claimed to be an atheist, yet he believed that God was an angry old man sitting up on a cloud waiting for you to do something wrong so he could strike you down. Now, that's not an atheist. That's a deist, because he had a belief in a God. It wasn't the God of the Bible, obviously. It was a God that existed in his imagination. It was a false God. But it was a God nonetheless, so he was hardly an atheist, he was a deist, and he wanted to deny the God that he imagined. And that's where I think a lot of atheists are. They make claim to believe that God does not exist, but when you talk to them, you find out that, like my roommate, they have a view of a God that they don't like. Now, the view of God that we need to get these people to see is the view of God that you can find in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 8, where it talks about the God who commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Now, that's hardly an angry old man sitting up on a cloud waiting to strike us down when we've done something wrong. This is a God that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the God that came down in the person of the Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, who, because of his love for us, was willing to endure the cross, to shed his blood to pay for our sins. This is not the God that's sitting on a cloud angrily waiting to strike us down for the least little offense. But a lot of atheists, I think, believe in that sort of a God. And so they don't want to accept him, like my college professor that I mentioned earlier talking about evolution, who made the remark that the only alternative to evolution is special creation, and I don't want to believe that. And that's the case, because see, he understood that if evolution was not true, and if there is a God that created the heavens and the earth, if there's a God that's responsible for us being here, then we're answerable to that God. We have a relationship with that God, and that relationship is either a good or a bad relationship. Well, the Bible tells us very clearly that there is a God. In fact, in Psalm 14, verse 1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God," because it's foolish to say that God doesn't exist. How can you say definitely that God does not exist and know that's absolutely true? That's a faith-based position. To claim that God does not exist, there's no way that any atheist can prove that God does not exist. All they can do is marshal evidence to say, this justifies my claim that God doesn't exist. But ultimately, it's a step of faith. Well, likewise for us as believers, it's ultimately a step of faith in terms of believing that God does exist, but we have reasons for it. I happen to think it's more reasonable to believe that God exists than to believe that God does not exist. In some respects, the agnostic who says they don't know, they just don't know that it's possible some way in that respect, are more honest than the atheist, because like I said, most atheists are basically God-denying deists. They manufacture a false view of God, and then they come up with all the reasons why that false God doesn't exist. But they have a false God in their mind. But getting back to the Bible here, is Brother Mileti said in the last program in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, most atheists would say, well, where did God come from? I had an atheist one time that told me that. He said, or asked me that. He said, where does God come from? What do you believe happened? And I said, well, I believe in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he's trying to, discuss where did God come from? And I said, well, God has always existed. He has no beginning. He always existed. And then at some point, God created the heavens and the earth. And he thought that was foolishness to say that God always existed. And I said, well, what do you think happened? And he said, well, the singularity exploded in the Big Bang and created everything that is, all things came about by chance. And I said, where did the singularity come from? And he said, well, it always existed. And I smiled. And he saw how I reacted. And then he thought, and then he kind of laughed because he realized that he was calling me foolish for believing that in the beginning there was someone who always existed that produced everything that exists. And now he was trying to tell me that in the beginning there was something that always existed that produced everything exists. He just had something and I had someone. And he believed in the singularity. I believed in the God of the Bible. And at least he was smart enough to realize that we were both believing in something that always existed, in my case, a someone. And that goes back to a comment that I read from Dave Hunt one time that said, you either believe in an eternal someone with infinite power or an eternal something with infinite or with unlimited potential. And that's what we have to realize. There's a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, and I'd recommend that. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But again, like last week, I just want to take a break here and hear a few words from one of our past presidents.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew at that moment that troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so, in this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer.
This is how FDR announced to the nation that the liberation of Europe was underway with the D-Day landings in Normandy 73 years ago. The Ohio Christian Alliance Annual Freedom Banquet is Thursday, May 25th at 7 p.m. at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton. Proceeds will benefit the effort to add the D-Day prayer to the World War II Memorial in D.C. Speakers are historian Bill Fetter of the American Minute and Frank Gaffney from the Center for Security Policy. To register, log on to ohioca.org or phone 330-887-1922. That's 330-887-1922.
Well, and thank you there for that advertisement for that. And if you're able to go, you can check them out. And we'll be talking about that maybe again in our Sunday night program. But getting back to this idea here on atheism, I was mentioning a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And you can find that online. I just checked that real quick here. Frank Turek and Norman Geisler are the authors there. But if you just go online, Google, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, you can find that. And excellent book. And they go through it and they present the case for Christ, the case for the God of the Bible. And, you know, this is the thing. This is why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, or the fool has said there is no God. And the reason the fool has said there is no God is because, or the Bible says the fool has said there is no God, is that, or in his heart, I'm going to get that quote correctly here in just a minute. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. This is a decision that they come to. Because, see, if there is a God, like my forest biology professor recognized, if there is a God, he didn't like the connotations of that. He did not like the fact that if there is a God, then that God is somebody he's going to be answerable to. My roommate did not want there to be a God because his version of a God is a God that was angry with us. And, you know, that's a false presentation. I believe the devil has corrupted in many people's minds the fact that, yes, there is a God and he is angry with sin. But that same God who's angry with sin loves sinners so much that he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for us. He's the same God that commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's our responsibility to try and share that message, to overcome the false message the devil has, to try and convince people that God hates them. God loves us. John 3:16, for God what? So loved the world. Now he loved the world while we were still in our sin that he sent Christ, his only begotten son, to die for us. And that's the God of the Bible. This is the God of the Bible. Yes, he hates sin. And yes, the same God that says the wages of sin is death, the same God that on that final day of judgment, the great white throne judgment, is going to cast people into the lake of fire, not because he hates them, but because they refused to come to him for salvation. It's the same God that was willing to give us his word, the same God that was willing to give us a free will so that we could choose to love him. He doesn't force himself upon us. This is the same God that inspired his word so that those who want to know salvation, those that want to have forgiveness of sin, those that want to become a part of his family, those that want to have a relationship with him that's a good relationship, that we could call him our Heavenly Father. There's enough information out there that we can know that God exists and that we can know that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. He did that because he loves us. There's abundant evidence. In my opinion, I believe it takes more faith. Just like the title of that book suggests, it takes more faith to be an atheist than to believe that God exists. If you believe God exists, then why don't you search the Word of God If you know somebody who's a Bible-believing Christian, ask them for help. Come visit our church. We'd love to help you so that we can help you to know the true God, not that false God that many atheists believe in that's angry with you all the time, but that you can know the God that loves you enough that he sent his son to die for you, to pay for your sins with his own blood. Well, we're out of time. Hope to talk to you again next week, and join us again. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.